The first lesson is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, beginning with verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is found in Psalm 121, beginning with verse 1. Please follow the screens and read along with me. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and all your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave his testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.' The next day John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by. He said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them, and they said, following him, and they asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ.' And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Good morning, and I like the ringtone. We're just going to acknowledge that. It made me want to go play a few video games, wanted to see if I could beat Mario. No, you're actually not beating Mario. You are Mario, right? I think, yeah. Anyway, when I was younger playing video games, the only type of video games I could play are the ones that move from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen. Nowadays, when it's this whole almost like virtual reality experience, not for me. But my boys, they love playing these games, and they love to have me go and play with them. Mostly, I don't know which they enjoy more, the game or watching me struggle through it, because I have no concept of how to move around in this three-dimensional world. It is a joy and a privilege to be with you this morning. My name is Jeff Stevenson. I'm the youth and family minister at the church. I'm in the transitional period. We'll be doing more and more with community outreach and evangelism with the church as we continue the process of hiring a youth and family minister, director, to move forward. And God is doing a great and wonderful thing in our midst. Wanted to share with you, because this is part of my DNA, wanted to share with you a dad joke. And you're laughing, and I haven't even told the joke. Maybe I should stop now. This actually comes from my daughter, who's in college in Portland. I kind of joke with my wife a little bit, because every Sunday night, the two of them FaceTime, and they have just a wonderful relationship, a wonderful connection. They spend time talking about just how their week's been. I have a wonderful relationship with my daughter, too. It's just different. It consists of every Sunday, I send her a dad joke, and she attempts to answer it. Usually, she's gotten to the point now where she answers them quite quickly. She actually has gotten to the point where she sends me dad jokes during the week. She was so excited to send me one this week, she sent me the joke and didn't even give me a chance to answer before she sent me the answer, followed by a lot of laughing emojis. Her joke goes like this: which state offers the smallest drinks? Thought about it. Didn't know what was happening. Had to alphabetically begin to go through the states. And much like some of you are right now, you probably got to the point when you're like, aha, Minnesota. You're welcome. That comes to you this morning from my daughter, Laura. Begin our time. Now that that's out of the way, please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the joy of being in your house. We thank you for the opportunity to enter your courts with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, may our eyes be fixed on you. Just as the psalmist says, Lord, we pray that you would gently touch our chin this morning, raise our head, raise our gaze. Let us look to the heavens and see where our help comes from. Lord, we know that this morning, each one of us comes with different stuff, different baggage, different situations, different things happening in our life. And Lord, we might be crying out with an exclamation point, where does our help come from? And we're excited because our eyes are fixed on you. And we know that our help comes from the Lord, but some of us may be coming this morning. Maybe some of us are watching online. Maybe some of us in the past few days have said, where does my help come from? And instead of an exclamation, it's a question mark. And our eyes, our gaze is looking downward, and we're downtrodden and we're overwhelmed. Lord, we pray that you would meet us where we are today. And we pray that you would grab hold of our hearts. In your holy and precious name, Jesus, amen. During the season of Lent, I'd encourage you, Pastor Jeff mentioned it, I really encourage you to join us in the Prayer 316. If you go to the church website, goodshepherdutah.com, there's a prayer banner right on the front. Prayer 316. Every day at 316, could be p.m., could be a.m., could be both. I've had a few occasions, this morning being one of them, that I was actually awake at 3:16. Oddly enough, Doug, who helps me with the food distribution, I was up at 3:16 yesterday as well to get ready for the food distribution. So it's not my normal routine to be up at 3:16 a.m. That should really only be seen once a day. But if you feel so called, I challenge you to invite you to pray with Pastor Jeff, pray with the church, pray with this outpost of heaven during the season of Lent as we prepare our hearts to celebrate Easter. It's a really cool thing. I have it set on my phone where every day at 3:16 p.m., it just an alarm goes off. It comes on my watch, lets me know, oh, hey, I should be praying. And I go through the prayer. And yes, it's a scripted prayer, which is easy to read through, but it's also a wonderful way for me, my heart, to then begin to intercede for other things as I'm reminded as I'm reading this prayer. And it's just a cool thing. It's a great exercise that's preparing my heart for the season of Easter. It's an open invitation. We'd love for you to join us. Okay, today I pray that God would open our eyes so that we can see Him. And I'm going to be sharing my own story, but we'll get to that. I need to reference my notes. Today I pray that God would open our eyes so that we can see Him, so that we can see hope. For me, the sermon title, we're in the middle of a sermon series called See Jesus. For me, it's See Jesus, come and see hope. Come and see hope. We live in a world right now where it kind of feels like hope is being torn apart. Maybe you turn on the news, maybe you open a newspaper. They still have those. Maybe you're checking out a news feed. It's easy to be overwhelmed and be discouraged and downtrodden and be like, oh, there is no hope. And we're overwhelmed with this, that, or the other. Conversations with my kids, my two boys in particular, they're like, man, I don't feel like I'm ever going to be able to buy a home. They feel in that arena, they feel somewhat hopeless today because they're thinking, my heavens, it is so beyond my reach to try to be a first-time home buyer. What am I going to do? Our invitation today is to fix our eyes on Jesus, to let our gaze be to heaven and say, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. I'm going to share my own story about my journey about finding my hope in the Lord, because He has been my help in time of trial, tribulation, difficulty, and trauma. But in this world right now we live in, some of the things that we just kind of race through in our lives, what is it that we hope for? What is it that we are looking for? Well, we hope to make friends at that new school. We hope to pass the test. We hope to make the team. My son and I coach soccer together, and the boys that we coach are all 8th and 9th grade. The 9th graders just tried out for their high school soccer team, so they are in that place of going, oh, I hope, I hope, I hope. And many of them didn't, so they feel hopeless. We might have the hope to get asked to the dance, hope to get accepted to that college that I've always dreamed of, hope to get that promotion at work, hope to be able to buy a home, hope to be able to provide for my family, hope to be able to be happy and healthy throughout my life, hope to watch my family grow old and be filled with joy. But too often we feel as though there's this lack of hope in the world. And I think outside of Jesus, I would be right there. I would be in the place of where I don't feel like there is hope. And I want to tell you today that in Christ, in Jesus, there is hope. It's not an easy journey. It is not an easy thing. It's not just a walk in the park. Well, accept Jesus and then everything will just be sweet and wonderful. It's not true. Rather, when life comes at us hard and things are difficult, we're going to be in this place of peace. We're going to be in the place where we realize what it is, as Paul was telling us in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of times in my life where I haven't felt very joyful every day in the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs. But the call is still the same, rejoice in the Lord always. Let's take a look at, I'm going to take a look at the gospel reading. But before we do that, I want to put a pin in two words, two things that have come against me, that have tried to tear my hope apart throughout my life. These two things I could pinpoint in various different things. and that would be pride and fear. So we're going to put a pin in those, and we'll come back to them. But we're going to take a look at the scripture. Christianity is experiential, and we see this in the gospel when John the Baptist is there and saying, look, there goes the Lamb of God. It's not just poetic language. It's an instantaneous connection to what the people in that day and age would have understood, but yet not fully grasped what John might have been saying. Because that language, look, there goes the Lamb of God, drew this instant connection to the sacrificial system. The Lamb being a pure and spotless Lamb, a sin offering. And it made people perk up and say, come again? John says it twice, and he's there to testify, to commit and say, this is what I've seen, this is what I have heard, this is why I am saying it. And that, it's an important element there to for him to be testifying. There is a direct connection back to Deuteronomy where it talks about the importance of testifying, that it was a necessary thing, but here John is testifying, telling about what he saw, what he heard, why he was there, and why we needed to follow Jesus. So there were two disciples that heard what John was saying, and they began to follow Jesus. And I love Jesus' response. He just turns and says, what do you want? I have to imagine Jesus already knew what they wanted. Jesus already knew exactly what they needed, but he wants to ask the question. And now we just get this little quick snapshot. And they say, well, where are you staying? Come and see. Jesus' invitation, simple. Come and see. In other words, come and walk with me. Come and spend time with me. Come and spend the day with me. Come and see. So they go and they spend the time. And they, yes, now I, for one, I put myself in that situation and I think to myself, is that the question that I would ask Jesus in this moment? Where are you staying? Oh, what hotel are you at? We get this invitation to go to where he is, but really what they are experiencing is they're experiencing his ministry. They're experiencing it as he walks and he spends time amongst people and proclaims the good news. And guess what? It transforms them instantaneously. They have, and what is their response? They immediately go and they tell others. Andrew goes and tells his brother and says, come and see. You've got to come and see. What is it that you have to come and see? We found the Messiah. It was crucial for them to, mind blown, come and see Jesus. And then Peter comes and he meets Jesus. And the invitation then we have today is to come and see. We learn an important point in this brief little scenario. We learn that Christianity is more than a list of theological principles and greater than a set of prescribed religious rituals. Being a child of God, being a follower of Jesus, is an experience. Accepting Jesus' invitation, we follow him in doing so. What we see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. What life is really like, ministry, mission, with Jesus. We spend time with him. We are immersed in the experience of God when we walk with him. And life opens up in ways that we could ever imagine. We come and see. And when we come and see, suddenly we start to get this understanding of hope. Hope beyond what the world can offer. Hope that the world doesn't fully understand. Peace that we the world can't give, can't comprehend, but is found in Jesus. Now, I want to talk just really briefly about what it's called. It's the invisible gorilla. It's a study in visual cognition. There was this study that was done a number of years ago, and it's done what is a research study. There's a video that was put together. And in this video, there are 6 basketball players. And they're just kind of in an open room. It's not even a basketball court. They're just in a classroom. There's 3 players that are all wearing black jerseys, black top, black shorts. And there are 3 players that are wearing white tops and white shorts. And those or two teams, and they're given the instruction just to start moving around the room and passing the ball to their team. The black team has a ball, and they begin passing. The white team has a ball, and they begin passing. All those that are part of this research study, they're given one simple piece of instruction. Watch this 30-second video and see how many times the white team passes the ball. Simple enough. So they begin the video, and then people are watching. They're diligently watching. They're looking for how many passes the white team makes. At the end of the video, then each participant in the study goes and finds out, and they kind of unpack, they debrief with the study, and they're asked questions like, what did you notice? What did you see? Oh, there were 27 passes. And they were like, I saw it. And then they said, did you notice the gorilla? Excuse me, what? Did you notice the gorilla? In this study, 50% of the study participants didn't even notice when a man in a full body gorilla costume walks into the middle of the room, walks in amongst all the players, and begins to pound his chest, and then walks out the other side. This study in visual cognition made it very clear that there is a high likelihood. In fact, in this case, there was no direct correlation in terms of why one person would notice it and another person would. But 50% of those viewing this didn't even notice a gorilla. Why? Because they weren't looking for the gorilla. They hadn't been given the instruction. You'd get 100% of the people noticing the gorilla if they were told, watch this video and tell me when you see the gorilla. Because guess what? They're watching for it. But then they wouldn't have seen how many passes. They might not have even noticed how many players or how many teams or how many balls were being bounced around. We see what we're looking for. And the opposite is true. We don't see what we're not looking for. It's invitation, come and see. We have this season of Lent that we're in. It's preparing us for a time of Easter, a great celebration, a great reminder, a great hurrah, shout it from the mountaintops. Look, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. The world needs to know to look for Jesus. There's a lot of people in the world. There's a lot of people in our community. There's a lot of people in my family. There's a lot of people that I know that need to see Jesus. And it might just be as simple as come and see and to have it pointed out to see Jesus. If we're not looking, we might not see it. Point of this study is that we don't have an unlimited amount of attention. We only see those things that we're really focused on. So this season, I would encourage us to focus on telling others about Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you my story. My story about one particular struggle that I've had in my life. I told you, we're going to look at those two things. Do you remember what they were? Fear and pride. We're going to pull the pin out. We're going to see how those things play out in my life and how they have they've tried again and again and again to rob me of hope. Now, before I tell you my story, I want to keep the emphasis, keep the focus on Jesus, because this isn't a poor fedge moment. This isn't a story that was left to make you go, oh, that's so hard. Because the reality is each and every one of us have our things. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a health struggle. Maybe it's who knows what it is, what we walked into the room with. Each and every one of us have our things that we wrestle through. I'm telling you my story to encourage you, to remind you that in Christ there is hope. I'm going to tell you my vision story. Now, there's nothing like overly spiritual about that. I'm talking physically my vision story. I call it my trauma timeline. Some of you know that I have an eye condition. And I'm going to tell you that story and how fear and pride have tried to rob me of hope. In 1985, I was 10 years old, and I was excited because growing up in Draper, when Draper was a small town, there was City Hall, the town hall. City Hall was right in the kind of in the middle of the little town, and every Halloween they had a spook alley for kids, and my family, we were going to go there, and my friends were meeting there, and I was super excited, and I hopped out of the car, and I saw the City Hall because it was held in the basement. And I saw the doorway, and I saw it all lit up, and I hopped out of the car, and I said, see you, Mom, woo, and I started running. and I promptly ran into, right next to the city hall is a cemetery. And around the cemetery is a retaining wall. And inside the retaining wall are big, beautiful rose bushes. I saw the city hall. I saw the doorway. I didn't see anything else. And I hopped out of the car and I ran and I promptly hit that retaining wall, flipped over, landed in the rose bushes. And my parents were like, "That's not right." Hmm. I mean, yeah, they probably had a little bit more concern than that in that moment. They were like, "Oh man, my baby's, he's in a rose bush." But they knew something was up. They were like, "Why didn't you see?" And I just said, "I didn't see the retaining wall." And like, so I went up to the University of Utah before the Moran Eye Center was there, and I was diagnosed with what is called choroideremia. It's a retinal degenerative condition, and it is genetically passed on my mom's side of the family. And my mom just felt guilt, like she had anything to do with it. It's like, "Mom, there's no reason for you to feel guilty." But my journey started in 1985 with that prognosis. 1987, God was already in the process of working on me. 1987, I went to a summer camp. I had grown up in this church. I went to summer camp and I invited Jesus into my life for the first time. My life had never been the same. 1997, we fast forward a little while, started working in youth ministry. Hope. I was excited. I felt that call on my life. Fear wanted to rob me of that. Fear spoke into my life, "This isn't for you. You're not capable. You can't do that." I almost listened. 1999, my wife and I, we wanted to start a family. We were excited. We had always talked about and prayed about starting a family. Fear crept in. Fear whispered into my heart and said, "You won't be able to see your kids grow up. Don't do it." I almost listened. But because of that foundation and a relationship with Jesus, hope still was flickering. Fast forward to 2019. 2019, I went up to the Moran Eye Center and I knew this day was coming. But I was officially diagnosed or declared legally blind. I've got the certificate that says it and everything. And I didn't walk out of that doctor visit empty-handed, because guess what they gave me? Two things that every blind individual needs. I say this with a little bit of humor, because still to this day, I don't fully understand. I walked out of that with the removal of my driver's license. I was like, "Oh, that was hard, but it was okay." Pride had been creeping into my life for years. Pride would prevent me from asking for help. Can't tell you how many times I walked home from places because I was too proud to ask for help, too proud to ask for a ride. So losing the driver's license, suddenly the pride was like, "Ha-ha, I win." And I was like, "Oh, nope, you don't win. I've gotten pretty darn good at asking for help." But the other thing I walked out of that doctor visit with, oddly enough, the state of Utah gives a lifetime fishing license, because that's what every blind person needs, to go to water and play with fish hooks. I was like, "Okay, cool." But I got a sense of how God was still at work in me. 2020. In this trauma timeline, 2020 was hard, because I had the opportunity, this hope that I have. My hope is in Jesus, is an eternal thing, but this hope for something different in terms of this prognosis. I had this wonderful opportunity to participate in a clinical study, and I went to Miami, and it was a genetic research study, and there's a possibility of participating in maybe halting the degeneration. But upon arrival and upon going through the gamut of tests, I got a phone call and said, "I'm sorry, you can't participate. The condition of your eyes has progressed too far." That was a dark day. That was a hard day. Fear wanted to ruin my hope, but I continued to have hope. Why? because of Jesus. 2021, and this is the last piece of my trauma timeline that I wanted to share with you. 2021, I decided to combat pride face to face, and I swallowed that pride, and I ordered for myself for the very first time a mobility cane, you know, the blind cane that the people will use. And it's a tool, it's a resource. It lets other people know that I don't see as well as other people, and it's actually tremendously helpful. But it was a pride moment to be able to order that. My kids, though, we had so much fun. First time I used it is typically in unfamiliar, crowded environments, because those can be really hard for me. We went on a trip to New Orleans, and previously we'd have family trips, and anytime it was a crowd, it was a stressful scenario, because I'd be, my kids would be assisting me, and it was crowded, we're bumping into people, and it was just, I'm sorry, excuse me, oh, nope. And it was just kind of generally an embarrassing mess. Sometimes people come up and try to shake my hand. I'm not trying to be rude, I just don't see your hand. But we took this white mobility stick to New Orleans, and we found a big crowd, and we started walking, and my kids were amazed. And they said, Dad, people are moving out of your way. It is the coolest thing ever. You lead. So I did, and literally, people just like, whoo, spreading out. So we decided to give my mobility cane a name. At first, I thought, oh, let's name it Fezzik. Does anybody, okay, so that's the response my kids gave me, like, huh? Fezzik, Andre the Giant from Princess Bride, yells out, everybody move. Nobody got it. So instead, being a minister, we decided to name my mobility cane, and to this day, it is still named Moses. Because Moses parts the seas of people in front of me. It took a lot for me to swallow that pride, to overcome that fear, and work through these things. In continuing, I do have reasons to celebrate. You have reasons to celebrate in a relationship with Jesus with this joy. For me, what are my reasons to celebrate? Well, I continue to see God leading me and directing me and guiding me in the call that He has on my life. To this day, I overcame that fear and followed Jesus, and He's at work still today. Not only have I seen my kids grow up, but I'm watching them flourish. I continue to coach soccer, a passion of mine. I continue to coach with one of my sons. I continue to have joy in my life because I heard the invitation to come and see Jesus. To come and see Jesus. My invitation to you this season of Lent, as we lead up to Easter, is for you to come and see Jesus. For you to, even on the days when it doesn't seem possible, to rejoice in the Lord always, to be able to be in the place where you say, I get it. I'm going to walk with Jesus. And as we spend time with Jesus, and we spend the day with Him, may we then also leave and go and tell others and say, you too have to come and see Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who loves us, the one who has prepared a place for us. He is for us, not against us. So the reason, again, that I shared my story is to give you encouragement. Each one of you have a story. Each one of you have things that the enemy would love to whisper into your hearts and say, you can't do it, or don't try it, or whatever that lie might be. As we pray, I want that lie to be broken and for you to hear, come and see. Come and see hope. Because Jesus sets us free to live a life that is glorious for His name's sake. So would you pray with me? Lord, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the opportunity to walk with You. We thank You, Lord, for the day, for the opportunity to spend the day with You, to spend a life with You. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to journey with You. Lord, most of all, we thank You that today we can lift our eyes up and we can see clearly, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. And Lord, we see that the invitation is to rejoice in You always, even when things are hard, not just when things are easy. May we see You because we're looking for You. May we invite others to see You. May we point You out to others. Pray these things in Your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.